Go to 2 Peter this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3. Good to see all of you out and about on a damp morning. It's a little bit what I want to talk about this morning. It includes that desire to be out when there's no other reason to be out. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read in the latter part of the chapter here. I'm going to focus in on one little old bitty thing at the end of what I'm going to read this morning. As you can see from my markers in my Bible, I only got a couple of them marked. The rest of them are vacant, so don't think that we're going to get out early because of that. Got two other passages, maybe three if we get to it, that I want to draw your attention to. And real simple message that I have today, and I think it's a needful message because I want to help you, and I think we need some help in this area, so that's why we're going to go here today. Let's read, I'll pray, we'll get right into the message. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me say this morning. If you're here this morning and don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not too late. Amen. And He is not willing that any here this morning perish. He has made provision for every single one of us, every single one of you, to be able to come into the pardon and forgiveness of sin this day. If you believe that you have gone too far down the road that you are on to be saved this morning, you are in error. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking You, Lord, to make me a blessing to these people today. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing to the one that drove here in a nice car, and I want to be a blessing to the one that had to hitchhike a ride today. I want to be a blessing to the folks that bought their clothes at the department store and those that bought them at Goodwill. I want to be a blessing to the one that could write a check for $1,000 this morning and to the one that had to check if they had enough for groceries. Make me a blessing, Lord, to people that live in big and beautiful homes, and make me a blessing to people that don't have as much as others. Lord, help me help these people. For I pray it in Jesus' name and amen. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we are commanded to do something. It says in that 18th verse that we are commanded to grow. We are commanded to grow in grace and knowledge and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I have good news for you this morning. Perk your ear up just a little bit for just a short moment here. Perk your ear up. You don't have to be perfect to be a part of this church. Hello? That's good news this morning. I don't know if you've got this idea about church and how you think it or everything's supposed to be, but I'm going to tell you this morning, good news, you do not have to be perfect in order to be a part of this church this morning. All you have to do, all you have to have a desire to do, all you have to need to do is to grow. Have a desire to grow. And for the remainder of our time this morning, I want to talk to you about that growing. I want to talk to you about why I say what I just said right there. That verse doesn't say anything about growing up. It does say that we ought to grow. We're not told how much to grow. We're just told to grow. Now that ought to be an encouragement too. We're not told that we're to grow like somebody on our row is growing. We're just told to grow. In other words, we're not to be measuring against each other. It just tells us that we're supposed to be growing in this thing. There's not a rate of growth that's specified in here. We're just told that we're supposed to grow. I've got kids. Most of you know that I've got 9 of them. I've got more than that, but there's a couple of them in heaven. But 9 kids that have been visible and that are on this planet still living today. I've got 9 kids, and as most of you know, we've been here for 13 years. My kids are not perfect. Right? They are not. They know it. I know it. Their mother knows it. And I'm sure that you know it as well. Now, the problem sometimes is that some of you expect them to be perfect. Because, after all, they are the preacher's kids. And the preacher's kids are supposed to be perfect. Deacon's kids can get away with murder. But the preacher's kids, they kind of live in a little more of a fishbowl than anybody else that's in the church. And we've come to grips with that over time. There was a time early on when I had the same expectation of them that folks in the church had. I had expectation of my kids being perfect. And I had standards, and I had them toeing the mark to measure up or try to measure up to what Daddy's expectations were of them, because I had this idea of what I was expected to turn out and what I was expected to do with all of that. When we first got here 13 years ago, my oldest boy and I got crossways in a hurry. I had a spirit of expectation of perfection, and he had a spirit of rebellion. And when those two came together in a collision, my stars, it was a collision. And it was not pretty. And push come to shove, because I had unreal expectations and he had that spirit of rebellion. And what it really boils down to is that we both had some growing to do. Those were some hard times. Many of you never even knew that. You know, you never know when somebody stands up in your company what's going on in their life, do you? You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know what's happening in their life. You don't know what's behind the message sometimes. But I can assure you more times than not that when we go into a passage and we're looking at something and I have people come out and say, boy, you've been reading my mail. You were talking to me. Boy, that was something I needed today. I'm going to guarantee you more times than not it's something that I needed. Something that the Lord rung my bell about. Something that needed to go and is going through me. I can assure you that it's something I've wrestled with before I ever bring it out here. lot of growing up that needed to be done. Life in the fishbowl can cause you to make some stupid rules in your house. It can cause you to have some expectations that there's no human being alive that can meet sometimes. And so I say that as a caution to some of you young parents who want to do right, who want to live right, who want to raise right, and want to turn out a product and want to shoot those little arrows out as missionaries and all the little things and all the great wonderful things that I had in my mind as a young parent. Reassess what's real and reassess what's really needed and reassess what the Lord would really have you to do. And take a look at your rule structure. Take a look at the way you're putting things together. I have high hopes for my kids. I've got big dreams for every one of them. I've got different prayers for every one of them. One that I have had for all my kids is that they find a good and godly mate. That's not going to change. That's a big deal. But I have high hopes for them. And I have big dreams for them, but one of those is not for them to be perfect. The hopes and the dreams that I have for my kids is that they'll grow. That they'll grow in the right direction. And that they'll continue to grow in that direction after they've even left my home and moved on. I just want them to be the best they can be under the direction and lordship of Jesus Christ. Not what you think they ought to be. Not what I think they ought to be. But what the Lord wants them to be. I'm talking to some folks today that might even be a little frustrated trying to meet other people's expectations. Looking at church in a way that is really unattainable. Looking at the hypocrisy that we see and judging everything by it and then deciding that we ought not to be a part of that because of what we see, the failures and the failings of the people that are around us. Man, that's the last thing we need to do. Last thing we need to do is get our eyes off the Lord and on to each other. Because we're all a mess. And if we keep our eye on each other out here, we're going to wind up in a mess. That's where false teaching and all kinds of things like that come in. That's where it finds a root. That's where it finds ground to mature in. Is when we get frustrated and we begin to look at people rather than at the Lord. I want you to hear this morning. You have a preacher. You have a friend. My wife has a husband who doesn't expect any of you to do anything or be anything but to grow. And that's what I expect of every one of you in here today. Not perfection, but growth. To grow in the grace. To grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my expectation for you. That's my hope for you. That's my big dream right there for every one of you. I just want you to be a little more holy tomorrow than you are today. I want you to be a little more Christ-like tomorrow than you are today. I want you to grow in that direction. To move in that direction. To be taught. To learn. To not be satisfied. Not to be content where you are. To not be static. Stationary. But to be moving. Man, it can be small gains, but it needs to be a gain. There needs to be a gain in our life. God says to grow in grace. Don't be frustrated because you don't measure up to what somebody else is expecting of you. I don't expect all of our young men in this church to surrender to preach. I think some of them ought to be a good deacon. I want to see our young men grow. I don't expect all of our young ladies to be missionaries. I think some of them ought to be preachers' wives. I just want to see folks grow. I just want to see folks move in the right direction for the right reason. Do I expect it to the point of being disappointed in people? You know, some people tell me, well, do you ever get down about because people aren't, you know, doing what you think or taking direction or whatever it is? No, because I get it. Because we're wired up the same way. I can be lazy. I can be hard-headed. I can be slothful. I can be opinionated. I get all of that. No, I don't get disappointed all that often. I tell you, because there's always somebody that's growing. There's always somebody that's moving. And that's an encouragement to a preacher. It's a huge encouragement to see somebody that's moving forward. So no, I don't get disappointed too often. I just want you to grow some. And I'd like you to grow some today. Matthew chapter 5, scripture over there in verse 48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Should we just say a benediction and leave because we failed to attain that? Maybe it's because we don't understand it. Because when he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect," what it says and what that is in the future perfect tense. And what that means is, literally, be ye therefore on your way to becoming perfect. Be ye therefore on your way to becoming perfect. What does that mean? That means grow. Huh? That means grow. To keep growing and growing and growing and growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To keep growing. Be ye therefore on your way to becoming perfect. All God asks of us is to be growing. And all I ask of you, in turn, is to do exactly the same, is to grow. What's different about you this week than was true of you last week? What's different? How have you grown since last Sunday? Have you grown since last Sunday? Well, the Lord asks you to. That's what he asked. That's what your preacher's asking. He's asking you to grow. Grow. Are you better prepared today as you came here than you were last Sunday when you came in here? What do you mean prepared? There's a preparation that's necessary before coming to worship. If you prepare properly, there will be changes that will take place when you come to worship. Are you better prepared this week than you were last week? Did you have a good Saturday night, or did you have a Saturday night that did not lead to being prepared on a Sunday morning? Was the ride to church more peaceful this week than it was last week? Huh? Was the ride more peaceful than it was last week? There's some growing that could do, right? Will the ride home today be more peaceful than it was riding home last week? If the answer is no, then where's the growth? Now, I didn't ask you to fix it all this week. All I did was ask you to do what? Grow. You know, fix everything this week, but just grow. Move in the right direction. How many of you have a hard time living up to your own expectations of yourself? Oh, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Some of you blacked your own eyes over things, haven't you? Abilities, Christian service, failures. Remember, God didn't say get perfect now. He said be on your way to becoming perfect. Move along in the continuum towards being perfect. Grow a little. Mamas, I don't care how old you are, you're still a mama. Mamas need to be growing. There's people looking to you. There's people looking at you and how you perform and what you're about. You need to grow. Daddies, you need to grow. There's some growth that's needed among the household of faith here today. There's some daughters that need to grow. Right, girls? Some sons that need to grow. There's some teachers here that need to grow. There's some deacons here that need to grow. This preacher needs to grow. We got church folk that need to grow in their Christian service. We got folk that need to grow in their Bible study. We got folks that need to grow in soul winning. We got folks that need to grow in their prayer life, grow in their walk with God, grow in their separation from this world. And everybody's not called to be somebody else in here. God's got a unique path and direction for every one of us. Not to be emulating everything that shows up, but to be aware and in tune with Him in order that He might move us along in the continuum that He expects of us in our life. Folks get frustrated because they don't meet the expectations of other people, because they don't meet their own expectations. Does it frustrate you that somebody's better at something than you are around here? Then that begs the question, why are you measuring against that? Because if we're all measuring against what we should be measuring against, we ought to be stretched out next to Jesus Christ. Now, it's true that we're to be following those that are good and godly examples. Paul tells us that. Follow me, he says. But then he adds a caveat and says, follow me as long as I'm following Christ. Said, if I leave the trail, you better get off my tail. You better find somebody else to follow if I detour off of the path. You better be following somebody. And what that means is that we got to know when somebody gets off the path. Because you can't follow somebody that's off the path, but you can if you don't know better. And if you're not growing, you don't know better sometimes. And you let people lead you down the primrose path of failure rather than allowing the Lord to circumvent that and take you where you belong, right? You don't have to be perfect. God just wants you to grow. Now let's take a look at growth for just a little bit here. I want to talk about that just a little bit. Let's go back into these other two that I've got marked here this morning. I'm going to spend a little time in, let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 for just a little bit. Anybody else got somebody someplace else they need to be this morning? Just want to make sure I'm not holding you up. Galatians chapter 5. Let's start in at verse 13. We're going to talk about growing here, okay? I got three passages here that talk about growing, what we mean by growing, okay? Look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. That's freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Real important idea that is contained right here, okay? The book of Galatians is written Paul founded the church. He went away for about a year. In the time that he was gone away from the church began to have false teachers creep in. These false teachers that crept in there said, what you have to do is you have to add something to Jesus to get right. And what they were saying is that you have to add works to Jesus in order for things to turn out for you in your life. And so Paul comes back and he says, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And so that's the premise of the book of Galatians right here. And so when he gets to this point right here, after he's been putting down that false teaching of that you have to follow the law, you have to get back under the law, even though you've trusted Christ, you have to be under the law to be right with everything. Now he comes into this and he boils it down for us in this right here. Listen. When you're saved, there is a process of salvation that takes place. There's a time when you take pleasure in sin. Yes or no? That pleasure in sin, what God begins to do is he begins to get your attention while you're having pleasure in sin. This is called regeneration. The washing of regeneration. The Holy Spirit begins to work in your life. He begins to reveal Himself to you. This is what we call Him drawing us to Himself. He begins to work in drawing us towards Himself. And this washing that takes place during that time, this regeneration begins to occur. He begins to reveal Himself to us. We begin to see that there's sin in our life. And we begin to see that sin how like God sees that sin. And as more is revealed to us and more we get more in tune with that, we begin to see that, man, I'm not living a holy life. I'm not living a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. And there it comes down, that regeneration moves over into justification. Justification is the trusting of Christ. What we come to the place of understanding that our sin has separated us from a holy and righteous God, and we understand that there's only one way out, and His name is Jesus. Amen. And at that moment, this is an instantaneous thing, this justification. In that moment of turning from our sin and turning by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified. Amen. Our sin debt is covered instantly. Instantly. There's a process of regeneration that comes in, but justification takes place just like that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Never to be undone. We've trusted Him with our life. We've seen the truth. We've turned from sin and turned by faith to Jesus Christ, surrendered our life to Him, saved gloriously, justified in a moment. The next thing that takes place beyond that is called sanctification. How many of you used that term this week? Outside of church?
No, it was last night in church.
Okay. We don't normally use church words out there, especially sanctification. Sanctification is the next process. We are saved from the pleasure of sin. We are saved from the penalty of sin in justification. And then we move over into the sanctification process, which is to be saved from the power of sin. Now, this is one that's not instant, because the moment you get saved and you get gloriously saved, God doesn't just wipe out all sin in your life and you become a perfect being, right? Else we wouldn't have to meet here, would we? Huh? And we wouldn't have to have a church that took less than perfect people, right? So, sanctification is being saved from the power of sin, right? And that is a long, drawn-out process. The process is a lifetime long, however long that lifetime of yours is. I know whenever I was saved, I was still doing things that a lot of well-meaning church folks would have looked down on. And as I began to understand that these things were an affront to a holy and righteous God, one by one those things began to go off. I'm going to tell you what, they didn't go off by a dozen at a time, brother. They didn't fall off a dozen at a time. And some of them were hard. Some of it was hard stuff. that had been entrenched in a life for a good long while. So we got this process of sanctification. Beyond that, we have another process and something else that takes place. It is called glorification. That's when we be saved from the very presence of sin. That's when Jesus comes back for us. We talked about that several times here today. But we're not there yet. And so we're in this process of sanctification. We're in this process of growing, which is God, what God expects of us to be doing. Growing in grace and growing in knowledge. And that's what he gets at whenever he comes to, we come down in here to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. The word walk there in the Greek carries the idea of keeping rank. Heard that before? Keeping rank is what walk is translated from. Keeping rank is a military term of talking about me in this row of individuals right here. There's a rank and then there's a file. And keeping rank means that we're shoulder to shoulder. We're not letting things in. We're not letting things come against us. We're keeping rank and we're moving together. We keep rank. That's why the church is necessary. That's why the church is important. You see, that's why we weren't saved and then run off out here to do our own thing in our own way and wherever we want to do it and however we want to do it. Because we're intended to join together and keep rank. We're strengthening one another. We're helping one another. We're keeping rank with each other to keep the things of this world, the things that would separate us and divide us, out from among us by virtue of us being a unit. We keep rank. And he says here, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Grow, walk, keep rank in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's a battle that goes on the moment we get saved. That's why this power of sin, God gives provision through the Holy Spirit of God that comes in, is imparted to us at the moment of salvation to help us combat the flesh that it is commingling or cohabitating with. This flesh that is used to doing things its way, the Spirit of God comes in at that moment of salvation, at the instant of justification, comes in to empower us to be able to move in the right direction. But as we move along in this continuum, the flesh continually pulls us back to this earth, pulls us back to this life, pulls us back to the things of this world. The Spirit wants us beyond that and above that into the things of spiritual things, into the heavenlies, wants to pull us up out of this mud that we're in. And therein lies the conflict. Every time we want to do something good, the flesh says no and screams no. And every time we want to do something bad, the Spirit of God whispers, no, not going to be good for you. And so the Christian lives in a constant state of turmoil. He lives in a constant state of tension and a constant state of battle. The flesh warring against the Spirit and the Spirit warring, and listen to me, having power over that flesh. Why? If you will allow him to take over in your life, there is nothing that can stand against the Spirit of God. It's the power that raised Christ from the dead, and it's in you. And if it can raise Christ from the dead, friend, it can give you new life and victory over any habit or any problem that you have in your life if you will turn it loose in your life. Walk in the Spirit is what it says. We're talking about grow. So now how do we walk in the Spirit? What is he talking about when he's talking about walking in the Spirit? And do you even want to do that? Do you even want to walk in the Spirit? Do you even want to grow? Do you even want to move up? Or you want to be satisfied right where you are. I'm saved, you know, it's really not worth the hassle, that turmoil and everything. Listen, you don't know what you're missing if you're not battling. Listen to me. You don't know what you're missing if you're not waging war against that flesh. You have no idea what you're missing. You have no idea of the freedom. You have no idea of the excitement that you can have in your life, about the provision that He wants to give you in your life. And as you begin to see it and it begins to grow, these things begin to move in your life, and the walk that you have with Him and the Spirit dominating in the things of life. Oh, my soul, the victory that you have in those things, I can't describe to you until you get it, until you see it, until you begin to appropriate that into your life. You don't have any idea what you're missing if you're not battling today. If you're not moving forward in that battle. So you walk in the Spirit. Grow. God says grow. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you're supposed to be doing. How do you do that? You walk in the Spirit. How is that to be done? Walk in the Spirit. Let's take a look somewhere else. Go over to Ephesians, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In order to walk in the Spirit, one must be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit must dwell in you. It must control you. Be controlled by the Spirit rather than to be controlled by some other spirit that is out there. How are you to be controlled by the Spirit? It says right here, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let me connect one more dot. Can we do that before I pontificate a little more? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of what? Christ dwell in you richly. So this is pretty much the same that we saw over in Ephesians just a moment ago. And this defines for us what that filling agent is. What is the definition of the filling agent here in Colossians chapter 3? It's the Word of God. The Word of Christ is what is to fill you. And when the Word of Christ, Word of God, fills you, then you are equipped to walk in the Spirit. Word of God fills us. We understand right from wrong. We understand what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. And therefore, it gives something there to lead us by, something to lead us along in this life by. God has something to refer to. God has something to point back to and say, right here, here is the direction that we need to be going. Walk in the Spirit. Keep rank. Keep rank with each other. How do we keep rank? We know where we're going. We know what we're doing. We know why we're doing that, because we're getting our orders from here. We're getting marching orders from this right here. So we move forward. So growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is very elementary. It has to go back to the Word of God. And the Word of God has to be the stimulus. It has to be the thing that we are continually filling up on, continually allowing to dwell in us, that we might be led by it in this process called growth. Very simple, isn't it? Very simple. So that when we divorce ourselves from the Word of God, when we divorce ourselves from the Word of God, we divorce ourselves from the filling of the Spirit. And when we divorce ourselves from this filling of the Spirit, then we do not grow. We're not led. We're not moved along. Listen, John 15, John 16 talks about Jesus Christ being the vine. Talks about us being the branches. And it says when we are born again that we are grafted into the vine. That we are grafted into the vine. And then that's the way that fruit is produced. You can't have fruit in a life unless you are grafted into the vine. Once you're grafted into the vine, the sap that is in the vine can then run through you and work out of you. Disconnected from the vine, you cannot be led. You cannot walk in the Spirit. You cannot do these things. It is only in that connection that we can move and breathe and work and have our being in Him. And so as we are connected to the vine, and as that vine flows through us, we then are just simply something for the fruit to hang on. We don't make the fruit. God makes the fruit. And He makes the fruit hang on the end of the branch by virtue of Him working through the vine, through the branch, and pushing fruit out through us, you see. Isn't that pretty? Growing means that we have to have the attachment. Growing means that we have to have the sap running through us. And the elementary sap that we have to have in order to have God produce fruit on the other end of us out here is the Word of God. Amen. That Word of God that flows through, grows us up, grows us in order that we be ready for fruit bearing. Go down in wherever we started from, Galatians. Second place. Galatians verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, notice that. Works of the flesh are manifest. And then it gives us a laundry list of works of the flesh. Things that the natural man wants to do. Things that this flesh wants to push us into. It gives us a really nasty list here. And it says, the works of the flesh show up. And they're like these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All four of those are talking about the same thing, basically. This is kind of a junk drawer of sexuality in these four terms that are given right here. Just a junk drawer. What that means is anything that's not a man, one woman for one lifetime, anything that is a sexual relation outside of that covenantal relationship is nastiness. That's what it's talking about. It's all nastiness. And God does not commend any of it apart from one man, one believing woman for one lifetime in a covenantal relationship. Goes on to talk about idolatry. We know what that is, anything that doesn't have God first. Witchcraft, looking at another source rather than the source. All of these things are talking about just things that would cut us off, that would show that we're not walking in the way of the Lord. These are works of the flesh. These are things that are worked up, that work up from within. All of these works that we're seeing here. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, getting wasted in crowds and running around. Well, we see a lot of that anymore, don't we? And such the like, I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, I did some of those and I'm saved. Well, what this is talking about is having a lifestyle that would be a lifestyle like this. That lifestyle would say, maybe you ain't got what you got. Maybe you better check on it. Huh? If you have a lifestyle that is engaged in stuff like this on a regular routine basis, you might want to check up on your salvation. Huh? So that's what he's getting at. Now go to the next one. But the fruit of the Spirit. Notice this is not a work. This is a fruit. It's not something we work up, because what works up from within us is fleshly, and that we want to take credit for, that we want to trap and say, look what I done. But no, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, which is You get that fruit by being connected to the vine, and the sap runs from the vine through the branch and pokes the fruit out on the end of it out there. It's God's fruit, it's not your fruit. This is what God's working in and through you. This is the process called growth. And when we grow as we should, there is fruit that shows up on the far end because it just gets pushed out by God through that sap through the center of all of that. Does that make any sense? And what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, etc., etc. So what does God want of us? He wants us to grow. That's the bottom line for this today. He wants you to have victory. Victory over sin in your life. He wants to be the power behind your life. The power to power your life. He wants to work through you to manifest His fruit to a world that is around us. He wants you to grow. Where are you in the process? Where are you in that? Huh? Are you connected? Man, that's a big thing, isn't it, Wes? Being connected, first and foremost, there's no way to grow apart from being connected. Huh? There's no way to have life apart from Jesus Christ. The way that you get the connection to Him is surrender your life to Him. Huh? And that's in salvation. You surrender your life to Him, which is that regeneration and justification that connects you to the vine in order that you have the opportunity to have the sap flow through your life, that sap of the Spirit to flow through your life and create fruit on the other end. This is what we call being born again. Regenerated, justified, redeemed, saved. All of these terms, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It happens in an instant. It's an event. It happens one time. It is not a repeatable thing. It is one time for all time when an individual surrenders their life, understands the truth, surrenders that life, trusts Jesus Christ for the soul salvation. At that moment, He places a piece of Himself in us called the Holy Spirit of God. There is a change. He quickens. He makes alive man's spirit at that moment and equips us to live a life for Him. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to grow. You're never going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep thinking, boy, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I keep pushing and looking and whatever thing. You know, I kind of would like to, but I just don't get it. And it might be a reason. It might not be connected. Have you ever surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Are you certain of heaven today? Are you certain today that if something were to happen to you, that heaven would be your home? What are you trusting? What are you counting on to get you out of this life alive? Well, I do, and I did, and I did. No. If that's your testimony today, then you got no testimony. Because salvation's all of the Lord Jesus Christ and none of you. Christ plus nothing equals everything. Now, once that connection's made, now some fruit can happen. But the only way that's going to happen is if you put the right nutrients in and get the right stuff out. And the right nutrient that we put in is the Word of God. And you get the Word of God in there, then you can dwell richly, then you can walk in the Spirit, then you can be led by the Spirit of God in all of these things. You say, well, I'm not putting nothing in. That's why you're getting nothing out. That's why you get nothing out. You're not getting nothing out the other side except works of the flesh. It's tainted. It's messed up. And the only way that it's not tainted or messed up is if it is a fruit that is popped out by the Lord through you. Amen? Everybody understand where I'm at today? Now I'm asking, where are you at? Where are you at today? Are you saved, number one? Are you able? Do you have the ability? Do you have the tools to be able to grow? Do you have what it takes in order to grow? If you don't, I'd like to talk to you about it. I'd like to talk to you about how you can be saved and know it today in order that you might be equipped to walk in the Spirit today, in order that you might be equipped to keep rank with us as we move forward as the Church of the Living God. The Lord expects growth. I expect growth. I expect this church to grow. I expect Sunday school to grow. The reason I expect those things to grow is because the Lord expects those things to grow. It's not an unreal expectation of a group that is connected to a vine, keeping rank and moving forward. It's not an unreal expectation at all. I expect Awana's to grow. I expect attendance to grow. I expect Wednesday night attendance and Sunday morning attendance. I expect attendance to grow. I expect our school to grow. My plan, my dream, my desire is for all of you to grow. And I'm not asking you to quit everything that you're doing wrong today, although that'd be a good idea. I'm not asking you to quit everything that you everything that's wrong. I'm just asking you to grow. To grow this week. You know what? We're not going to have immaculate bathrooms here. Because we have children. Somebody ought to say, thank God. Thank God we have children here. We're not going to have clean bathrooms when you have children. I know churches that don't have children. There's a deadness that's involved in some of that. Our nursery isn't going to smell like lilacs. We got babies. Thank God we've got babies. Our fellowship hall isn't going to be free of spills and crumbs. We've got big babies. Huh? Well, thank God we've got big babies too. We're not going to have everybody dressed right here every week. Thank God. That means we've got people in different stages of their maturity. That means we've got people that don't have any clue what's expected. And as long as we've got people that are in that station, I thank God for that. And I'd never want to see somebody excluded here because of the way that of their appearance or whatever else as they come in. Why? They don't know no better. They don't know any different. It's a process of maturing and growing. We have to be careful about things like that. Some folks are going to wear inappropriate stuff. Pray for them. Pray for them. Some are going to be shaggy. Some are going to be unkempt. Some are just going to be spiritual babies. I thank God that God brings whom He will through these doors. I don't expect perfection, but I do expect growth. You teachers can be better teachers. You students can be better students. There's nothing harder for a teacher to come in and teach a group that won't be taught or who don't prepare. You can be a better student. You be a better student, you can make a better teacher out of a teacher. You can be a better parent today. You can be a better son. You can be a better daughter today. You can be a better worker today. You can be a better Christian today. Maybe not as good as so-and-so, but you can be better in all of these areas. To grow is the increase of something that lives. Some can't grow because they're not alive. Not alive in Christ. That's a pretty good reason for not growing. But it is something that can be changed. If you've never had your sins forgiven, accepted Christ, you're dead in your sins, and you can't grow because you don't have life. You say, I'm breathing. Well, that's temporary. The question is, do you have an exit strategy? I do. My exit strategy is salvation. You say, well, I'm going to be a Christian someday. How about today? Then you can grow. You can start growing today instead of some future time. Don't be what somebody else wants you to be. Don't heap expectations on yourself. Don't measure yourself against the super saint. You don't have to be perfect today, but you do have to grow. And that's what God requires of you. That's what God asks of us, each and every one of us here today. Honestly, today, some, as far as service goes to the house of God, there are some of us in here today that are on life support. You're not growing in that area. I don't expect perfection, but I do expect growth. If you've been doing the same old thing for 40 years, without change or without difference or without attitude or anything changing, you might want to check up on yourself. God expects us to grow. And that's all I expect of you as well. We still all right? You and me? We okay today? Sometimes helping you means being straight with you. Huh? Sometimes that's the help, the way that we help, be straight with you. There's a call for maturity. There's a call for growing up, a call for walking in the Spirit today, to be led by the Spirit, which means to be filled by the Word of God. Very elementary and very basic. One of the reasons some of you aren't growing is because you have not had a process of ingesting the Word of God. And I would encourage you to do that before anything else. Get into the Word. Get your orders for the day. Get moving along the continuum. Right, girls? Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much, Lord, for each one that is here today. And Lord, I know that there are, Lord, many, many different issues across the room this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you. And Lord, that we would undertake, Lord, to incorporate into our lives those things, Lord, that would be, that would move us towards fruit bearing. Lord, help us first and foremost, everybody here, to be connected, to be saved. Lord, if there's somebody here that's not saved this morning, let them be honest with themselves and you and get that taken care of. Lord, if there are some here today that have, Lord, just kind of wandered away and started doing their own thing, and Lord, we call that being backslid, Lord, that would be out in the horse weeds somewhere, we pray, God, that you'd turn them around and bring them home and get them moving in the way they should go. And Lord, for even those super saints that are here this morning, Lord, there is space to grow. So I would pray, Lord, this morning that you would encourage everyone in the continuum, everyone in the spectrum this morning to step up, step forward, step up, grow. So Lord, I commit that to you today and pray it in Jesus' name and amen.